there. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 148 for Friday, August 30th. Oh my God, August is almost over. Remember, it was only like last month where I couldn't pronounce August. Remember, I was trying to make up.
Was it October for a while?
I think it was October.
And I think last year we had September.
Yeah. Oh my God. Welcome to the podcast. If it's your first time, thanks for joining us. I'm Phil Nickinson, the host of podcast. I'm going to say podcast one more time in this sentence, I think. Editor of AndroidCentral.com. You know us. That's why you're here, probably. But if it's your first time, welcome. Thanks for coming. Kind of a different cast this week. It'll be fun. So we've got all the way on the far... Am I pointing the right way? Yes. All right.
Yeah,
pointing right that way. Richard Devine. You know him from Android Central. You know him from iMore.
Hi. How is everybody?
I was just making sure
you were actually pointing at me first.
I know, I wasn't sure which way I was going. It was like, is it going left? Is it going right? And I was like, well, I can go any way I want. On the extreme other end, we have Alex Dobie.
Hey, hey, everyone.
Now, Alex and Richard sound a little bit alike. Not a lot, just a little. And it's because they're both, I don't know, are you Englishmen? Do you call yourself Englishmen?
I think that describes us pretty well.
All right, cool. It's funny, you know, I mean, because you guys are from different parts of England. Well, Richard's from all over. I don't even know where Richard lives.
Nobody does.
You're like a nomad.
I struggle.
You wander the land seeking justice. Seattle, we've got Andrew Martinick.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You got it first try on the last name there,
yes,
Phil.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was going to happen or not. It's been practice again this week.
Does that mean I have to start paying you now?
Yeah, that would be great.
So, welcome back. We took last week off because we needed to have a week off. So, it's good to be back. And next week's going to be crazy, by the way. Just, you know, let's get it out there now. Richard and Alex and I will be in Germany at IFA, which is partly why we have Richard on now. Because it's kind of a European-centric show, right?
Yeah, kind of. There's a lot of global stuff that goes on there, and of course we got all the, you know, a lot of phones that are going to be announced that we'll see in other parts of the world. But it's also big for the European carriers, and there's a lot of European-centric stuff that is kind of cool to see, because in the US events we don't always get to see that side of things.
Cool. And you guys went last year. This will be my first year going, so.
It was fun. It's going to be even busier this year. I'm just looking at our event calendar. I'm glad we've got three of us this year because it's going to be busy.
I look back, you guys did 50 posts last year in 5 days, I think.
Not bad.
So, yeah.
Sounds about right.
I felt a little bad for not being there. It's like, all right, I'll go to Germany. Fine.
Somebody's got to take a hit.
So Alex did a good preview. Let's just dive into it, I guess, and kind of talk about what we expect to see. What is probably the number one thing we're looking for, Alex?
There are a few, but the most obvious is the Galaxy Note 3. And despite a bunch of leaks, we still don't know a whole lot about that. We have the specs. We know roughly it'll look like a Samsung phone. I mean, if you're expecting something else there, then I don't know what to say, really. But it's going to be all about the features on the Samsung side for this. So Samsung's always about introducing crazy new things and software features. And they did it originally for the first Note with the pen input, and then we had the hover over input and a bunch of new apps and different features last year. It's going to be interesting to see how they evolve that with the third generation of that product line. We've had leaks of the screen. We know what the front's going to look like, and we know it's going to be a Snapdragon 800 or whatever in there. That's probably the least important, the least interesting part of that device for me. I'm going to be interested to use it and see what it's actually like, how they're bringing things forward, even if it is a bit of an incremental update from last year.
I mean, it's going to be big. We know that.
It's going to be big, but it's not going to be that big physically. It's going to be, I think it's a 5.68-inch screen we're looking at, and that means that
We've seen, like, the panels leak out, right? Like, supposedly...
Yeah, the panels have leaked out. It's 5.68 inches. That basically means they're taking the same footprint of the Note 2, and they're just trimming down the bezels. So you've got a slightly bigger screen, so 5.5 to 5.68.
LG did that with the Optimus G Pro,
yeah,
essentially.
Samsung did it with this thing as well, the S4.
Right. Yeah, see, I've got the G Pro and the Note 2 here. And that was the big deal, like... Almost the same width. I think the G Pro is a little thinner, a little more narrow, but that bezel made a huge difference to me in the way it feels. They're still too big for me. I don't want a phone that big, but I get that a lot of people do. And that sort of thing can really make a big difference just in the way they feel.
And I'm kind of glad, but they're not going for a crazy, crazy large screen size. There were rumors a while back they were going for maybe 5.9 or 6.3.
Well, they've already got that.
I mean, yeah, they've already got that. And I think they're smart enough to know that they're not just assuming every year that people want bigger phones, because that's not the case. They've hit a nice sort of sweet spot with where the Note range is at the moment.
What about software? And we'll talk about more about this in a second, but
it's difficult to say on the software side. I mean, where the sort of general wisdom with Samsung goes that we have kind of a TikTok sort of thing with the design. So we're not due any crazy new design stuff on either on the hardware or the software side until next year, probably. So I think whatever comes on the Note 3 will look about the same as what we have now on the S4. On the feature side, we really haven't had any substantial leaks of what is going to be new on it. Certainly we'll have all the stuff that was on the S4, because that's just the way things work. But like I was saying before, it's going to be interesting to see what is new that they can bring to the table in this class of device, because there's already an awful lot that the Note 2 can do, so we'll have to see.
I'm just kind of, and I want to hear what the rest of you guys think, Andrew and Richard. I'm kind of burned out on phones with 5,000 software features a little bit. And maybe it's because I've been using the Moto X so much, and now I'm playing with the LG G2. We'll talk about that here in a second. But it's, I think I'm just burned out on, you know, phones with a million features you got to figure out, and you'll never use half of them, and
I think it'd be interesting to see whether or not the any third-party developers pick it up, because I remember last year when we had the Note 2, there was a couple of apps, and Moleskine was one of them, the note-taking people, and they had they were set up in the Samsung booth right next to the displays for all the phones, and obviously Samsung had built all this crazy new stuff into the actual phone itself, but how, aside from, you know, iterating every year and making it a little bit better and adding some new stuff, I think it's perhaps going to be more interesting to see whether or not third-party developers have been drafted in to, you know, we've got this exclusive to the Note 3, we've got this exclusive to the Note 3, because that, for me, that could make it that little bit more impressive than just, here's a bunch of stuff that we've added.
I think it's going to be a couple of things in play there. App exclusives are something Samsung's always been pretty big on. There are some games that are still exclusive to the S4, even a few months after launch. The other side of that is getting developers to use the hardware that's in these phones. And Samsung's got a developer conference in San Francisco in October, which is maybe where we're going to see more of that. We might hear sort of inklings of what they're going to be doing, but I think in terms of getting developers working with Samsung's SDKs and getting great new apps out for devices like the Note 3, we're maybe going to have to wait a few months, and let's, I guess, remember at the same time that we're probably going to have to wait a couple of months before this is out anyway.
Andrew, what do you think? Well, you've been using...
Back to Phil's...
Yeah, because you've been using some of the other Droid phones, right? And even though they're a little different, they're still scaled back.
Yeah, I was going to go back to your point on kind of software fatigue, where the Note 2 gets it double, because it gets all the stuff that the S3 and S4 had, but then it also has all the pen stuff on top of it. And then using the Droid Ultra, which is basically just the Moto X on the software front, it's like really refreshing to just have a few features that work really well. You know, your trusted Bluetooth, your active display, your touchless control, like those are things that I think the way I described it was they're work really well when you want them to be there. And when you don't want them, you just turn them off, or you just don't use them, and they just disappear if you don't want it to be there.
Where's my Optimus G2? Optimus G2, I gotta quit saying that. Because, like, here's one thing. I need to do a post on it. We'll talk more about this phone in a second. You see the notification panel there?
That's just horrible, isn't it? I'm sorry. Who the hell designed that?
The settings take up half of the...
That's a crime against software design.
Yeah, if you have more than one email, you can only see... Like, it's horrible.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you expand an email, like...
The screen is, like, 8 feet. I forget. It's
5.2.
Yeah.
Inches, not feet.
That's nuts.
And the funniest thing I thought about that was you have the completely redundant settings at the top to control sound with the toggle, and then a full sound slider. And that's kind of, you talked about the knock-knock feature too. They had to do that, right? They had to put a software volume button in there because the volume keys are on the back.
Right. And Knock Knock's really cool. All right, let's just talk about the G2 now. Knock Knock's really cool, right? If you haven't seen our video, it's not going to work when I hold it like that. You just tap it twice. Oh, the battery might finally be dead. Nope. This is not final software, by the way, so. Oh, you know what? I bet I turned it off. It's a setting you can turn it off, so if you turn it off.
Demo fail.
Yeah. Let's see. Nope, it's turned on. It's just not working. Knock, knock. There we go. Knock, knock. It's live TV, folks. There we go. I can see when I do it because the power button lights up on the back. Knock, knock.
You could have just done that and pressed the power button on the back and we wouldn't have known.
I could have. Right. You know, so that's cool. But I tell you, I would take Active Display. I just woke up the Moto X. I would take Active Display on the X. I can't see it, so I can't tell what I'm doing. Like, any day of the week.
Right. And Active Display does a really good job of kind of knowing when you want it. It's kind of weird. When you pick it up off a table or pull it out of your pocket, it just knows to light up. And, you know, I found myself 9 times out of 10 not having to hit the power button because you just put the swipe down or you swipe up to whatever notification is there. And doesn't that kind of, you know, that then you don't care where the power button is anyway, so why do you have to go through this crazy back power button stuff?
By the way, I saw people have started benchmarking this phone, the G2. It's not final software, guys. Don't know what to tell you. I mean, benchmarks are silly anyway. They're even sillier when the software's not final. And yes, the newer, more powerful system on a chip is going to benchmark higher than the last one. Crazy, I know. What else about the G2 you want to know? Yeah, I mean, I'm getting used to the buttons on the back, right? It's weird. It takes a minute, but it works. Like, your finger's going to be there anyway. In fact, Moto X, and I think the Droids did this too, right, Andrew? Mm-hmm. They have a little dimple there for the Motorola logo, and that's exactly where your finger goes. Except on this phone, you have the volume rocker and the power button. I do keep overshooting it. I'm curious to see, like, if I was using this full-time, if I would get better about that. I do keep overshooting it and hitting the lens a little bit.
Yeah, but. I was going to see if you had a bunch of blurry pictures from touching the lens too much.
Yeah, I mean, I try to remember to wipe the lens off anyway. Somebody mentioned in one of the comments somewhere that, you know, I'm always having to wipe my lens off anyway. I don't want to put my finger on it more. Well, what's the big deal? If you're already wiping it off.
If you're
going to
wipe it anyways,
once,
yeah.
Yeah. So I really don't worry too much about that. I think as you use it more, you'll get a better feel. I'm really curious to see what all the other U.S. carriers do to it, because we know that Verizon's changed the design up a little bit, but we haven't, like, touched it yet, and I don't know of any. I don't think we've seen renders of the others, have we?
I don't think so. And so we're presuming that we're not going to have, like, an AT&T model come out and the power button's going to be on the side again, right?
No. I absolutely asked about that when I sat down with LG up in New York. They said, no, on all of these versions, the power buttons will still be on the back, and it was actually Verizon specifically I was worried about.
That's refreshing.
So, there will be small design differences, but the overall paradigm is still intact, so that's good, I guess. People are excited about this, and it's cool to see excitement for an LG phone again, I think, because on one hand, I'm kind of like, well, all right, it's plastic, and you know, either you don't mind plastic or you hate it. I get that. I would prefer something else. It's fine. And maybe it's just the hollow sound. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just what it is that bugs me. I don't know. It's a fingerprint magnet because of it. But it's not a poorly designed piece of hardware. It's still bigger than I personally would like, but it's not like Galaxy Note phablet size, right? Yes, I said it. Sorry. You know, it's not G Pro size, and you can still see, you know, the size difference of the G Pro. So it's big. I don't know that I'd want a Nexus this size, and I know that's kind of the extrapolation everyone's making. Like, this will be the next Nexus. I still like smaller for that, I think. What do you guys think?
I think they're going to be 2 Nexuses, calling it.
Didn't you say that last year?
Elaborate.
I just kind of mostly a gut feeling, but I think there's been enough chatter about this Motorola Nexus and also an LG Nexus that maybe both are happening.
I don't know. Last time somebody said a whole bunch of Nexuses, we ended up with 1 Nexus and a lot of Google Play Edition phones.
Yeah, true. But at the same time, we're not getting a Google Play Edition G2.
Right.
So we'll have to see. I mean, anything could happen. But my gut feeling is that we probably will get more than one this year.
Or at least we're not getting one yet, put it that way.
Well, yes, yeah.
We don't know. It's a nice amount. The software is kind of an extension of last year's of Optimus G. I guess it's now just
so not good.
It's trying real hard, and I still think a lot of it is just regional and cultural differences. Because I still get reminded a lot of TouchWiz, and I have to wonder how much of that is an Asian design philosophy. And just the phones are used differently in different regions, right? So maybe that's it. I don't know. It's a mess.
It just doesn't make sense. It's hold over from back in the gingerbread, kind of in the same way as TouchWiz, right? The stuff that's hold over from the gingerbread days. You've got an on-screen menu button for God knows what reason. You've got all this stuff in the notification tray. They're obviously modeling this on TouchWiz for better or for worse, but they would have done better in this new important flagship phone to just start from scratch, I think.
When you say that they're trying really hard, are they trying hard to fix it, or are they trying hard and they're going over the top, they're adding things without cutting back on others?
It's not haphazard design, and maybe I'm a little tainted by the fact that I've met some of these people and I've heard them explain it to me. I mean, it's not like they're just throwing stuff against a wall and seeing what sticks. I mean, there's purpose behind it. They can explain, here's why this is there, here's why this is there, here's why this is there. And about 2 days later, when they're done explaining all these features, you're like, great, but holy crap, that's a lot of stuff. And, I mean, the design itself, I just don't think it's very good. It's not very natural to me. Seeing a folder when you make a folder just is odd. That's not necessary. I do love the buttons, you know, the little toggle buttons in the settings. I like those a lot. I think that's cool. But there's a lot that just doesn't do it for me. But there's just so much stuff going on. I kind of had the same reaction when I was sitting in the briefing in New York that I had when the Galaxy S4 was explained to us. Like, you know, we've got an hour and we've got 500 features to go over and boom, 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 boom. It's just like, all right, take a breath. And let's, like, give me the top three important things. And I think I want a simpler phone, not just, you know, because of the hollow design or whatever. I want a phone that does a few things really well and not a whole bunch of stuff that just overwhelms me. Maybe I'm just getting burned out and tired. I don't know. Am I getting old?
I think at some point, I mean, you look at what both LG and Samsung are doing. At some point, you're going to have to stop adding features and start trimming features. You can't add all these features every generation forever. Otherwise, it just becomes unmanageable. At some point, they're going to have to start rationalizing all the stuff that's in there.
You say that, I'm not sure I believe it. there's just so much they can do. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to get it in the U.S. relatively quickly, guys. I mean, it's tomorrow, September? Right? Yeah. I guess Sunday is the start of September. We're supposed to have it, I think, mid-month or by the end of the month?
13th, I think, was the date we had.
Yeah, it's...
On Verizon.
So we'll see. And we'll see what the U.S. carriers do on the software side, because they can muck it up, they can add stuff. Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll find out. Can I complain about that for a minute?
Yes.
Because for as much as I'm singing the praises of the Moto X and Motorola scaling things back, I'm a little mad at AT&T. So I go to the mall today, and it's not just my mall, but I go to the mall today, and it automatically connects to the hotspot there. It's an AT&T Wi-Fi in the mall, I guess. And I can't turn it off. I don't want to connect to their Wi-Fi. Only way to not do it is to turn off Wi-Fi. I don't want to turn off Wi-Fi. Then I got to turn it back on later. In fact, did I turn it back on? Yeah, I did. I'm really not crazy about my phone automatically connecting me to a hotspot that I didn't approve. I guess I did by proxy, by using the phone, because it's an AT&T phone, but they have to give you the option to not connect to AT&T hotspots. And they've done that on other phones. I think you have the option on the HTC One. But it's, I mean, Richard, could you guys get away with that in the UK? Like, there would be riots in the streets, right?
I despise seeing every time I walk past a public hotspot a notification coming up to say, would you like to connect to this? But it's... I kind of get it the same as well. There's a popular one called The Cloud, and once you've kind of used it and signed into it once, every time I go near a cloud hotspot, it tries to log me in, but it doesn't log you in. It just connects you to their hotspot, so you're there trying to use your phone, and it doesn't work, and there's some swearing and...
Like, if it worked 100% and was good Wi-Fi, okay, I might get over it. But half the time, it's just crazy, you know, especially at like certain coffee chain establishments.
I was going to say, you think it's bad at your mall? Try walking down the streets in Seattle where there's a Starbucks on every single corner, and AT&T Wi-Fi is radiating out of every single one of them.
Yeah,
it's absolutely a requirement to turn Wi-Fi off, because you'll just bounce between Wi-Fi access points and it can't decide which one to be on. And like you said, if it worked really well, that'd be great. But it's just slow and terrible, and it's not consistent.
And that's the other side of the problem. It's an infrastructure thing. If they had this Wi-Fi network set up and it worked everywhere and it was super fast and really good, then no one would be complaining about it, because it would just be an extension of the network and you would be fast everywhere. But I guess, as we all know, crappy public Wi-Fi is often, you know, slower than HSPA or LTE or whatever you would otherwise be connected to. So, yeah, it sucks.
What else? I think that's it on the G2. I mean, it's got a big, what is it, 3,000 milliamp hour battery. This is a European version I have, so I can't really do a good test on that. And I still don't really care for the, let's run it all day on, you know, one web page or music, running on music or movies, you get a decent feel. But again, the software is not done, so I kind of don't want to go too in depth on anything that's specifically software contingent. I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll see. The camera looks all right. The camera's decent. So that's that. What else? I didn't make a script for today, so we're just
I want to jump back to Aoife for a second.
Yeah, let's do that.
The Galaxy Gear, yes, which is actually all but confirmed at this point. We had a Samsung exec was interviewed by the Korea Times this week and name-dropped the thing and said, yeah, it's coming. It's a smartwatch. It's not using flexible AMOLED. So chances are it would look like a watch, not some kind of crazy futuristic thing. So it's we still don't have an awful lot of information about what it's going to do, besides it seems it's running Android. There's going to be this app that's leaked out that lets you control it, put watch faces on it and stuff. But probably more important than that, the bigger thing is that Samsung's getting out there the first. I think, with the possible exception of Sony, the only manufacturer to get... and actually, no, Sony's isn't running Android, so they're the first manufacturer to have a proper Android-powered smartwatch, and that, I think, is going to be pretty significant.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they're going to handle it. Is it going to be more like a Pebble, where the heavy lifting is done on the phone and everything's just pushed to the watch, or because it's running Android, can you actually, you know, have some processing going on the watch, and how will that matter with battery life? And, you know, with this Gear Manager app that we've seen, it kind of looks like a lot of the stuff is happening on the watch, and the phone is just kind of a management device, which is kind of a different way to look at it.
Yeah, here's my thoughts on that. Samsung's getting out first. We know Google's working on a smartwatch. There's presumably going to be some stuff in the next version of Android. There have been multiple leaks that are saying that Google's looking at trimming Android down to make it run on less powerful devices. And you know what's a less powerful device? Is a watch. It's a smaller device, lower power, smaller battery. You're more restricted in what you can do on it. I think if there is a watch in the works with Google, which it certainly seems like there is, then naturally you're going to need something in a new version of Android to prepare it for these lower power systems. And maybe getting out there with a watch running Jelly Bean right now is going to perhaps not be the best thing in the long run. So we'll have to see. It's certainly what we're going to get is a bunch of features that are going to tie in very closely with what Samsung's already got in the S4 and all its other smartphones. So probably S-Health integration would be the big one, you know, using this thing as a Fitbit or whatever. But yeah, it's going to be, we all know how big wearable devices are going to be over the next year. So this is going to be interesting to gauge how that next chapter of mobile plays out.
I want a watch that will do more. All right, so I'm still wearing the Pebble. I didn't have it on at all yesterday until I left the house. It's kind of annoying when you're typing sometimes. But I need something that does more. Like, we talked about this last time, I think. You know, I want to be able to use this as the microphone for things like Google Now, or I want to be able to act on notifications from here and not have to, you know, just some crap email that comes in and all right, done, archived. I worry when I think of Samsung making something like this, though, because it's, again, you're going to have 5,000 features in it.
And it's going to be plastic and AMOLED, and how's that going to affect?
and touch whiz and
yeah. Only two cores.
To be honest, it's one of the big questions I've got about is if it is going to be an Android powered watch and Samsung, you know, it's Samsung's going all out on it, is it going to work with things other than Samsung phones? Because it's still going to be a bit of a niche product if you've got to have a Galaxy S4 or a Galaxy Note or something that Samsung's made to use it. I suppose that's the appeal of something like the Pebble. While it might be a little bit stripped back and it might be a bit more kind of basic, but you can use it with an iPhone, you can use it with pretty much any Android phone. If it's just going to work with a Samsung device, how good is it actually going to be?
I think in a way they're going to use it as a gateway drug to get people onto Galaxy phones. I think the way it's going to work is you'll get it, it'll work, you'll have a basic feature set that works with probably most Android phones, maybe even the iPhone as well. And then to get all the really cool stuff, then that'll be limited to pairing the Galaxy Gear with an S4 or whatever.
That's what they need to do.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's what they are doing. They're not stupid.
I would love to see a Galaxy Gear pairing app in the App Store.
Cool. Can you imagine? That would be interesting.
I would love to see how long it takes to get approval as well.
By the way, I still have kind of no desire to use this Motorola skip thing, especially while I've got this watch being used as a trusty. That's really what I just want something I can have attached to my body that serves as a trusted Bluetooth device.
So kind of segue here, because I have this tab open. So this morning I got to take a look at a couple of new accessories HTC's working on. One of those kind of fills that role as a trusted Bluetooth accessory. It's called the HTC Fetch. It's basically a little plastic square on the end of a keyring. What it does, you pair it with your HTC phone. If the two get separated by a certain distance, an alarm goes off automatically, which on the HTC One is a great way to scare the crap out of people.
Did you try it? Was it that loud?
It's pretty well. It's the HTC One. It's pretty loud. Yeah. There's a button on the actual little fetch thing itself that you can press to sound an alarm. So if you lose your phone, it'll again probably scare the crap out of anyone that in the vicinity. It's just an extension of what Motorola is doing and what I'm sure other people are going to be doing with having it as a trusted Bluetooth device.
That seems to make a lot more sense than having the skip thing stuck on your shirt or something, you know, because you're just going to have your wallet or your keys, you know, in your pocket or in your bag or, you know, sitting on the kitchen table.
It needs to be something that's a little more permanent, you know, and something that I'm going to notice if I lose. I'm not going to notice this.
You're going to, chances are you're going to have your keys with you.
Right.
If you lose your house keys and you've got the fetch attached, you've probably got bigger problems than losing that in the first place. So
yeah, exactly.
Bad idea.
And I'm interested to try things out like this because I don't have the smartwatch. I don't have Bluetooth headphones normally or a headset or anything like that. So the trusted Bluetooth devices didn't really do much for me on the Droid Ultra and the Droid Max because I just don't regularly have that with me. So something like this, I mean, you just put the little thing on your key ring and it's there when you leave the house.
Yeah, and it's really small. You probably wouldn't notice it's there.
And you're still going to have to charge it, right?
No, the Fetch is very basic. The Fetch has, I think, a lithium battery that lasts 6 months.
Oh, wow.
After which you just change the battery.
Cool. What was the other? You saw a couple other things this morning.
The other thing is the HTC Mini Plus. This is a second generation version of the kind of mini handset phone for your phone thing that was released in China with the Butterfly last year. It's a little metal handset, very tiny. There's a few shots of it. You can kind of get an idea of the scale. It's very thin, very light. You've got a keypad on the front. It's kind of a throwback to the feature phone days, I guess, although probably smaller than any feature phone I ever used. It's in the same way, it's kind of a trusted Bluetooth device, or it works in that way, but it's more of kind of a, in the same way that a smartwatch extends the functionality of your phone to let you view things and do certain things without starting it up, that handset also does it, except it's a handset, not something that's strapped to your wrist.
I love the idea of that thing. Like, I want to be able to just leave my phone charging all day while I'm sitting here working, and then just have this tiny little thing that sits there And, you know, if I need to answer a call, I can just pick it up and answer a call. I mean, I guess I could do that with a phone sitting here, too.
Yeah, well, so the phone is also a phone, Phil.
Right. Well, yeah. So they've actually been doing this for a long time. A lot of home phone makers, you know, like Panasonic and, you know, whoever else have been doing this where you just cradle your phone into the main docking station of a home phone, and right. then your home phone rings. It's just Bluetooth phones, and it goes out all over the house. So, I mean, this isn't a new thing, but...
Yeah, but this is cooler because people say want so. It.
No.
So the obvious thing is if you have a big phone, you want to not necessarily be dragging it out of your pocket all the time. HTC's current phones that they're selling in the UK, you've got the One Mini. They're not selling the Butterfly over here. Of course, there are all the rumors about the HTC One Max, which we don't have yet. But you can imagine it would certainly make sense if that kind of device came along and it was sold, or you know, there was some kind of bundle that you got the Mini with it as well. That would make having a 5.9-inch phone a little bit more palatable for a lot of people, I think.
Well,
who do we know who better... we're expecting to come out with a larger phone soon?
Well, everyone.
Yeah. Well, but HTC as well.
But wouldn't that's what I was mentioning.
Sorry, let Andrew speak.
Well, isn't the solution to that problem just to stop making phones that are six-inch screens?
Not going
to
happen.
Yeah, people want bigger phones.
But if you want a bigger phone, the way to fix the bigger phone problem is to give you another device. Therefore, you know, now you have two things, one of which is larger than the thing that you used to have.
That's not a solution.
There's no place for your logic here, Andrew.
Yeah, the HTC, the One Mini is like the solution to that problem. If you don't want a huge phone, have the smaller phone.
I think the solution is if you want a bigger phone some of the time, but you also want to be able to, I don't know.
I would have loved this when I was reviewing the phone pad. I really would, because I wouldn't have had to hold the damn thing to the side of my head to use the Asus.
Maybe Asus has this whole pad phone thing. They have the right idea where you just start docking it into slightly larger increments, you know, in 1-inch increments, depending on the screen size you want that day.
I just want to say the phone pad is in no way the right idea for anything at all.
Oh, no, the pad
no,
phone.
No, absolutely not.
The phone pad is an atrocity.
Giant phone sold with little phone to go with it, though. I'm all for that. If they're going to sell them, at least make them, you know, less ridiculous.
Should we have a phone like called the Matryoshka or something? I just want a small, normal phone that does a few things really well. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah, you have one on your desk right now, don't you?
I know, I do. I got a couple, actually. Because I would still say the Nexus 4. By the way, how about the Nexus 4 dropping down to $200 for the 8 gigabytes?
This is stupid cheap.
Yeah, it's awesome. That is so. We were doing a Talk Mobile podcast earlier today, and it's like, how can you argue against that? How could you not buy that phone? That is the best phone you can get off contract for that money, I think, anywhere.
Period. And you know, Alex did the kind of joking post about phones that are more expensive than the Nexus 4, and HD2 and stuff like that. But really, what else are you getting for $200 off contract?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The few sensible options in there, they were all things like the Galaxy Young, these really low-end Lumia and Galaxy devices that are just, specs on everything. But if you look at the hardware that's in the N4 and compare it to those, it's no comparison, really.
Right.
What else?
So we got a couple more things at IFA. We got all the Sony stuff, this Hanami thing, which I think has leaked. I think it's actually leaked every single day this week so far.
Yeah, I feel like it's been released, the amount of
most of which have come from Sony as well.
It's between the leaks and all the teasers Sony's been doing. Yeah, we pretty much know everything about this. It's Xperia Z 2.0, basically. It's the same design, more or less. They've changed the way the trim around the outside works. It's a little bit more metallic now, which means it shouldn't be quite as much of a lint magnet as the first one was, because that was one of my pet peeves about that phone. So the corner's a little bit more curved. You've still got the big sort of circular aluminium power button. I think you've got sealed headphone jack now, which means that it doesn't... it's still waterproof, but you don't have a bunch of little plastic clips to deal with, which, again, was really annoying on the original one. Other major specs, Snapdragon 800, all the usual things, 2 gigs of RAM, 20 megapixel camera on the back. Crazy they Sony G lens.
So,
3 colors.
But is the screen going to suck like the Xperia Z?
I don't think we've heard anything about the screen. Sony seems to be transitioning towards the triluminous stuff, which is what they had on the Xperia Z Ultra. If you don't know, it's basically a blue LED behind a really tiny filtering matrix, which turns the light into different colors, and it's crazy science and stuff. But yeah, you would hope that they've taken a step beyond the really low-end LCDs they've been using up until now, which has been a little bit bizarre because Sony has a really long history in TVs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they make a lot of crazy TVs and displays, and it's just kind of bonkers that their displays are so bad, but it's very interesting.
My main fear for this phone is it's going to be entirely too bezel-y, and not the larger physical size combined with that type of design, it's just going to mean it's completely impossible to use. I had a similar sort of problem with the Z.
The top and bottom bezels do look huge.
The Z was very boxy, and you compare it to something like the S4 or the 1 where you have this soft curve, and you really feel it in your hand when you're holding it. It's just nowhere near as comfortable as a lot of other devices. So I hope they've managed to get around that somehow. But it does look like they're shipping a very bezel-y, very boxy phone again.
Who else do we have? Arcos, we've got...
Oh, we got some of these crazy lens cameras.
Oh, yeah, supposedly those are coming.
Leaking.
Yeah, we talked about a bit about those, 2 weeks ago or last podcast?
Yeah.
I think we already made then, that argument.
Yeah, I mean, if the price is right and if... like has been rumored, it's Android and iOS. I think that's going to be really interesting.
I'm just interested to see, you know, we see these leaks, like the one in the IFA post where you have just this big clip thing, you know, how stable is that going to be on non-Sony? You know, a lot of these recent Sony devices have really flat backs where it's really nice that it looks like it could just clip. But, you know, what if you go to clip it on the Moto X with the big curve in the back or the One? You know, how sturdy is that going to be? And yeah, it already looks pretty janky.
You would hope that there would be some give in that whole mechanism.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see, I guess. But I love the idea. The idea of just having the entire camera assembly inside this little cylinder thing that you then strap to your phone. It's all wireless. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, and the fact that it's a portable, supposedly portable, and cross-platform as well. A lot of people listening to this are probably not going to think about getting the next iPhone, but if you do, the fact that you could still have that flexibility to go elsewhere and buy another phone from another manufacturer and you still get the crazy stuff. I mean, the Samsung S4 Zoom, it's not a bad camera. It's not probably what we'd be expecting from Sony, but you're stuck with that one device. That's what it is. At least something like this, you can theoretically use it with anything, and it's like buy once and use forever sort of thing.
And there was even a rumor at one point that you could use it on its own somehow. I'm not sure how, because it doesn't have a viewfinder. But
right, well, yeah. But you know what's portable and cross-platform is an RX 100 Mark II. And it's also like a camera with a screen, and has Wi-Fi and NFC and already hooks up to your phone.
That's true. It's going to come down to price. So, the RX 100 Mark II is about $700.
If these cameras are also
$700, then that's, you know, you would just get the camera, obviously. But we'll have to wait and see what price they come out.
But it's also going to be a version 1.0 product regardless. So... you know, like with the Galaxy camera, it was ridiculously overpriced for what it was. So, you know, it's maybe not, we maybe shouldn't jump to too many conclusions with whatever it may or may not end up being. And however, it's likely to be quite expensive, but it's, you know, it's the start of something interesting for the future, maybe.
It's Sony doing something crazy that and innovative that is good for any company, especially when... the Sony reports about how Sony's struggling in a lot of areas. This is new thinking from them, which is good.
And quickly, while we're talking about cameras, we got pricing and availability on the Galaxy NX, which talk about expensive Android-related cameras. $1,599 for the body and $1,699 with the kit lens. Nobody's going to buy that.
I think it was the thing we said when we were at the event as well, wasn't it, Alex? When we were sat there waiting, you know, as it was being announced, the price was always going to be what could kill it.
It was always going to be north of £1,000 or $1,500, wasn't it?
Yeah, we called it straight away, but it's a shame because it's a really nice piece of equipment. It's at that kind of price. Who's going to take a serious look when they could just go and get a good quality DSLR or Micro Four Thirds camera without all the Android stuff on?
Right, exactly. You can get the highest end, Olympus or Panasonic or anybody's Micro Four Thirds camera.
The Micro Four Thirds for that price.
Right.
So
and it's just. I mean, you have to see as a first generation product, it's going to be expensive when they just have a phone grafted on the back of it. You're factoring in the price of all that stuff on top of the camera. But even Samsung's mirrorless NX cameras that are, you know, smart cameras with the NFC and Wi-Fi and things like that are literally half the price with the same lens selection. It just makes no sense.
You don't know whether you guys are excited about it because I think it's ridiculous. Camera lens onto the side of your phone. I mean, I'm curious to see it. I'm curious to try it. But
like, no, both of those.
Like, if you walked up to me and said, "Hey, I've got this great idea for a camera. We're gonna stick it on your phone's camera," I'm gonna be like, "What?" Huh?
Well, no, it doesn't go over your phone's camera. You've still got your phone's camera, so you
right.
Can,
okay.
You can take pictures while you take pictures.
Why am I strapping a camera onto another camera?
And then with dual view, you could have a front-facing camera of your reaction of you taking two pictures at once.
Blowing my mind now. What?
That'd be amazing.
I'm curious. I'm real curious to see this. If in fact it's legit, and it just sounds nuts.
So. Yeah, that's why I like it. It's only doing something crazy.
Nuts is good. It's fun. Yeah, gives something exciting to look at that we've not seen before. And
true.
You know, we kind of got that last year at IFA as well with the Galaxy camera. So.
Yep. One last Sony thing. Supposedly a smaller version of the Z1. Code name that's going around is Itsuki. So the interesting thing about this is it's a 4.3-inch 720p device. With most, if not all, of the features of the full-size Z1. That's the rumor going around. So Snapdragon 800, 20-megapixel camera, which is potentially pretty big because no one else is doing that right now.
I like the sound of that. Smaller phone, decent display, high-end specs. Yes. Yep.
I'm excited. So all that will start... When should we start seeing stories? Wednesday, I guess?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah. So as a reminder, Germany is 7 hours ahead of the U.S. East Coast. So that would be
6 hours.
Ahead of...
6 hours.
Six? You sure?
Yeah.
Seven hours. Oh, that's right. It's 7 hours ahead of where I am. So 6 hours ahead of the East Coast. So that's...
9 hours ahead of me.
9 hours ahead of the West Coast. I have to do math. Seven, eight... Okay, yeah. So start looking for that, I guess. I don't know what time of the day. Wednesday. Just look for
Wednesday at some point.
Yeah.
When Wednesday morning, U.S. time. We think the first press conference is with Sony about 4 p.m. local time, something like that. So
just don't go to sleep Tuesday night. Stay up all day Wednesday.
Yeah. Stay up all week.
Stay up all week.
You won't miss anything then.
Yeah.
That's what I'm excited. This will be fun.
Oh, you know, we didn't mention the LG G-Pad 8.3. That was kind of announced.
I love how LG always announces that it's going to announce things. Like, hey, we're going to announce a new tablet. Here's the name. Oh, cool. All right. And they'll probably show it to us between now and then.
Maybe. There's already been a render leak. It basically looks like a big G2.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do on it. You know, what the last tablet we got from LG was?
Was it the original Optimus Pad?
I don't remember... Was that the name? It was the 3D one. Or maybe they had two tablets. I don't
know. Oh, that's right.
They had the Optimus Pad over here.
Yeah.
They partnered with T-Mobile for that in the U.S.
Right.
It was a C-Pad or something. G-Pad.
I mean, that's how memorable it was. I'm just like, okay.
It always looked kind of long.
It's called the G-Slate.
G-Slate, that was it.
Oh, no, G-Slate 4G.
Yeah, and it had this really weird aspect ratio.
LG G-Slate 4G.
Yeah, it was like 16:9 and 8, so it was super wide.
And we're sitting there in Barcelona, just like, really, guys? And that was the year of 3D because we got the HTC stuff as well, and it's.
It was a year of 3D, and not.
It has the big metal pad on the back, like the whatever the G2X or whatever right. had on it. And,
it was so painful. It was so painful.
You can buy one now for $229, marked down from $799 on Amazon.
Wow.
Bargain.
Or you could just not bother.
Or so you could buy a Nexus 7 for the exact same price.
I've been playing Asphalt 8 for like the past week now. Am I the only one? That's why I haven't
played it. No, I've been playing it.
Yeah. 99 cents. So I've been thinking about this, and it's not a new concept. 99 cents for what's really a good, high-quality game, right? And can we all agree on that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
A lot of fun. Until you start, like, hitting the wall. Not hitting the walls, literally, in the game, but hitting the, I can't win these races anymore because my car sucks, and it takes too long to get stars or points or whatever to upgrade my car. And, hey, look at that. I can buy new cooler cars for, you know, $2 or $4 or whatever it is. And I got stuck in today, and I gave them more money. So I think I'm up to, like, $3 spent on a 99-cent app. It's just like, ah, here we go again with the in-app purchases.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine if you budget for it, I guess. But
So we talked a little bit about this before the podcast. What I did was, I mean, you get a game like this for 99 cents, you expect there's going to be some kind of in-app purchasing
right. going on.
I just bought the most expensive credit package. I think it was $10 up front.
and felt good about yourself later?
Yep.
Or so you didn't feel bad about yourself? Yeah. I don't know, it's a fun game. Go play. I mean, for 99 cents, it's still a nice like little time waster, even if you don't buy any of the other cars. I think.
I'm still finding myself being drawn back into Dots.
I don't
know why. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not on your own. It's
it's just there. And you kind of click on it and do things.
Didn't really do it for me.
Real Racing 3 is still my Achilles heel. I've spent far too much money in that game. Far too. but I'm so far into it now and so far invested, I can't stop. Otherwise, it's just a waste.
I'm just happy Asphalt got me off stupid Candy Crush.
Never played it. Still never installed it.
Oh, come on. Everyone's like, I don't play
Candy Crush. No, I've never played it. I recommended it to my wife and regretted it enough.
I can quit anytime I want. I'm so happy not to hear that sound anymore. It's really what it is. I'll play it on the plane the whole way over. That's what'll happen. Ugh, Candy Crush. You want to do some emails? We'll get out of here, I guess.
Let's do some emails.
Well, let's see. Here's how unprepared I am this week. I'm going to get emails now. So you guys need to be prepared. No, you can't make me prepare. Sean writes, what makes naming smartphones so hard? Does anyone do it well? I go to your site frequently and try to keep up, but I have a conversation with my mother this weekend about getting a smartphone and tried to explain the difference between the Droid Razer Max, the Max HD, and the Droid Max, and the Max Razer Mini, and HTC had 21XS SVs and so on just before they said, you know, just stick with the HTC one. I completely agree. It's a mess. You know what it's like? It's like talking about smartphones with your parents is kind of like talking about bands with your parents. And there's just no way you can sound cool talking about it. Like, you know, you hear your dad say, I got the Samsung Galaxy. And you're like, well, which one, Dad? That's not what it's called. That's so not cool. Don't be that guy. Am I the only one? Do you guys have cooler parents than me?
Well, it's kind of like when you're using a phone or you're reviewing a phone and somebody asks you what phone that is. And you're like, yeah, so this is the super ultra.
Exactly.
You know, ridiculous 2.0 from LG. And it's like, okay, they lost, you know, you've lost them already, and then they just don't care anymore.
And they're like, oh, you're one of those nerds, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cute. No, completely agree. Codenames are cooler anyway. What's the, how do you pronounce the Sony one? Hanami?
Hanami and Itsuki.
See, those are cooler names than, you know, ZL or whatever it's going to be. ZL2. ZL2 Max.
Sounds like a car.
It does. See, car names, that's fine. That works. Phones? Not really. No. All right, let's see who we got next. How about... first off, I'd like to say that I really enjoy the podcast, says James, and everything you guys do for the Android community. My question is for Jerry, but could be for anyone, which is good since Jerry's not here today. Since you reviewed the Incipio Fixie tablet stand, I'm looking for stands a lot lately. On this particular one, I'm a little nervous to keep it in landscape while charging. Could the weight of the charging cable, and I don't have a tablet sitting here, so I'll use a large phone. Could the weight of a charging cable, you know, like this, do bad things to the USB plug if you leave it horizontally like this. Anybody?
Unless you trip over it and pull the phone to the ground like I do often. No.
I'm not worried about it.
Cables aren't that heavy.
Yeah, it's of the life of a phone, maybe, but probably not.
Adam writes, if the recent price reduction of the Nexus 4 at Google Play indicates the Nexus 5, or simply the new Nexus, is being announced this year, or do you think it's a marketing strategy to get more people interested in the already budget-friendly line of Nexus devices?
I think it's a bit of both. I think obviously there's a new one coming this year because there's a new one every year, or maybe more than one, we'll see. But on the other hand, the Nexus 4 has been this price since it was launched last November. So we're about due a price cut. We had the same thing with the Galaxy Nexus around about this time last year, didn't we?
And we're due a new Nexus phone anyway. I mean, assuming they're making one, I don't know anything. Assuming they're making one, we're getting up to that point anyway. So a price reduction might or might not signal that it's on the way. Well, so is Christmas. Right.
And for Google, it's, you know, they're just going to pass the savings on to you. You know, at this point, building a phone with these components can definitely be is cheaper now than it was 11 months ago, and they're just going to drop the price when it was going to work for them.
At the same time, someone's probably making a loss on this somewhere.
My question is, with this price and the next Nexus comes out, would they sell two at one time? Would you sell this one as a cheaper $199, $249 device and then have a slightly higher-end new Nexus for, you know, $300 and $350?
Well, they didn't do it with the Galaxy Nexus when it finally came to Google Play. It was
night and day, I think.
Yeah, it was $350, so
night and day in the experience between the GeneX and the Nexus 4. Mm-hmm. I think the hardware has kind of stabilized a little bit where maybe it's an option.
I think the lack of LTE is going to push it off Google Play.
That could do it.
I think, and this is me going back to my theory, that we're going to get two phones this year. I think there's going to be a new Nexus 4 and probably a Nexus 5. And the new Nexus 4 will be just the new Nexus 4, and it'll have LTE and all this other stuff. And probably it'll occupy the lower price point where the old Nexus 4 was.
We'll see. David writes, I've got a question about on-contract, off-contract phones. It seems many of you on the podcast bash on-contract phones. For someone who's happy to stay with a given carrier and in a given phone for a longer period of time, is there a downside? You still need cell service from a provider for your phone to work. Do less expensive plans exist that are only available to off-contract phones? It's a really good question, actually. I think if you're going to stay with the carrier, by all means, take the subsidy. Right. If you know you don't need the freedom to take this phone and walk at any given time for sure. If you know you don't need a SIM unlocked phone, and I think people read a little too much into SIM unlocked from here. You know, if you know you're going to be traveling overseas and getting local SIMs, then yeah, you know, a SIM unlocked phone is the easiest way to go. Get one. But no, there's nothing wrong. You don't save any money. By bringing your own phone, generally, on the contract side of things, you know, you're not buying a new phone.
And especially for people that have shared plans or family plans or stuff like that, it's going to be cheaper for them to stick with the shared plan in most cases than get individual plans or do prepaid or anything. So you might, and you're buying a bunch of phones all at once. It's just not feasible for a lot of people. You know, three or four phones at $400, $500, $600 a pop up front is just not going to happen. So that's still a lot of people out there.
And it's a little different in the UK.
Because
you can sign into a SIM-only plan, and that does save you a lot of money per month.
Especially if you buy one of the new cheap Nexus 4s. Save a lot of money.
Jordan writes, I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for a launcher without odd spacing issues on an HTC One with CyanogenMod 10.2. So far, the stock launcher spacing is painful to look at. This has been my number one complaint about not just third-party launchers, but even manufacturer UIs, and that the spacing is just always really weird, especially for my home screen layout, because I use the same layout on every phone no matter what, right? I'm using the Action Launcher, which allows you to change the margin, so I'm able to stretch it out wider and taller so that it fits more like it should.
Nova Launcher Prime does the same thing.
Yeah, I've got Nova Launcher on the one, and you can adjust the spacing so that there's lots of space on the sides and the bottom, but it looks the way it looks on the stock launcher on the Nexus, which is what I'm Nexus 4, which is what I'm used to. But there are a lot of adjustments that are way better than the way the spacing is on the stock launcher there. So,
and it's kind of interesting, when 4.3 hit the Google Play editions, they changed a bunch of stuff to do with icon size and spacing to make it look a lot less weird and jumbled like it did on 4.2. So I don't know if there's any way you could port that to whatever phone you're running, but that's an option for sort of taller or wider devices.
Flipping through. How about... No. That's it, we're done. No, that's a bunch of good emails.
One last thing I forgot to mention about IFA. Yeah. We had LG announcing this absolutely insane 5.5-inch 1440p display. About a week or so ago. And they did that, and it was just a display announcement. There was no device to go with it. But what else that LG makes is 5.5 inches?
The G Pro.
The G Pro. And it's been about 6 months since the G Pro, and LG is known for fast product cycles. And also the Snapdragon 800 does support that resolution.
Ridiculous.
So, isn't that... That's about the resolution of the Nexus 10, right?
More or less. I think the Nexus 10 is the different aspect ratio. It's 1610. But basically, yeah, it's Nexus 10 type resolution on something that's 5.5 inches. Right. It's something like 550 ppi. It's insane.
It's the resolution of a 30-inch desktop monitor.
Yeah, it's bigger. It's higher resolution than what I'm using now. So,
nuts.
Insane. It's insane. All right, I think that's going to do it. Not a bad pre-conference podcast, if I do say so myself. If you want to, like everybody else just did, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Google Plus. Richard, are you hanging out anywhere other than Google Plus? Are you a Twitter guy?
Occasionally, but I'm generally more on Google Plus because the conversation's a lot better.
Good man. Hey, speaking of Twitter, though, they did just open up beta testing for their app. I need to do a post on that still. But, you know, you sign into the Google group and then onto the beta track, and you can get their beta releases. Cool. You can get beta releases for our app, by the way. Same deal. We passed 103,000 downloads or installs of our app this week, which is awesome. So if you've tried it out, thank you. We're still working on it. It's not perfect. We know this. So if you haven't already, the beta track's a really good way to do it. Releases will probably slow down a little bit for the next month or two, but we're absolutely still working on things and trying to make it better. So thank you so much for downloading that as many times as you have. As we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158 or just go to ShopAndroid.com on the old interwebs thing. They got a Labor Day sale going on right now. I think you save, 15% on everything? It's a decent little amount, so on your entire cart. So cool. If you need to buy some stuff, go buy it now. Help us out. And I think that's it, guys. Is that it? Are we done?
Yep, I think we're done.
I think so, for now.
Cool. We'll possibly do some podcasting next week from...
Yes, absolutely. Next time you hear from us, it will be from Germany. And it'll be fun. It'll be good.
Be a good week.
Yep.
Sweet. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, and we'll catch you from Europe.
Later.
You guys at it.
Bye-bye.